The congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, if I'm saying that right. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." I'm not a big water drinker. I like mine carbonated with some flavoring in there. We call that soda pop. Pepsi or Diet Coke or, in my case, Diet Citrus Drop, Big K. That's the kind of water I like. But there's been times in my life when I was at the end of the bean row that Dad had left us instructions to pick, or I was on the backside of hoeing out some of them rows, or different times when, and even other times when it just didn't seem like anything else would do but a good drink of water. It didn't matter if we had pop in the house, or as those folks around Granite City call it, soda. It didn't matter if we had soda in the house or not. I wanted some water. So there's times when I get that way as well, and this is where the congregation of the children of Israel were. No water to drink, and they start chiding with Moses and say, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, and because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" They had just a short time ago came out of Egypt, Moses as their deliverer. They had seen some things from God that no one before or since has seen. They had seen some miracles from the Lord that I don't think we could match anywhere in Scripture. That's just my opinion. You may differ on that. But I think that exodus of that mass people of Israel out of the land of Egypt was one of the greatest miracles the Old Testament has to show us. One of the greatest examples of the providence of God that we can find anywhere in Scripture. That He would hear the cry. That He would hear their toil and their sweat and then their pain and their suffering, and would send them Moses and would go through the steps that He went through to bring them out. I don't think you could find anywhere that would be anything more uplifting or more inspiring or more serving of awe and wonder than that one act of God when He brought them out of the land of Egypt, when he softened Pharaoh's hard heart, when He went through all the plagues and when He went through all the steps that He did. And these were the same people that seen that. These were the same people that saw all the wonderful miracles and all the wonderful things that had transpired to get them to this place. And now, because they're in a place where they don't see a ready supply of water somewhere, because they're in a place where they start to feel just a little bit of thirst and start to feel just a little bit of hunger, they begin to chide with Moses, and they begin to complain, and they begin to get aggravated, and they tell Him, "You brought us out here with our children and our cattle just to die of thirst." This same people that seen that same miracle that God did were just in such a short period of time ready to just turn it all over again and say, "Forget about it, we're here to die. Is the Lord among us or not?" That's what they were looking at Moses and saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" We are in, I don't know what generation you would call it, probably what, in the early 1900s, is this the third or maybe the fourth or so generation of this Pentecostal experience that we have. And we can look back even in our short time over the history of the church, and we can look back and see some of the wonderful miracles of God, that initial outpouring at places like Azusa Street, at places like Topeka, Kansas, at places that dot across the map, and different ones of our family as well. My own family, my great-grandmother that got in at such an early time. And served the Lord for probably 70-some years, and you have relatives that can go back almost to the beginning of this outpouring, and as we look back and we can start putting our finger on different miracles. And this very church that we're in tonight, some of you probably can remember when it was over on whatever the other street was, and you can probably point back to times when God moved and did miracles and did wondrous things to get us to the place that we are now, and to get us to the place where we can enjoy the blessings of God like we're enjoying now. But if we're not careful, if we don't watch it, if we don't take a special heed to the spirit that we have sometimes, to what rises up in us, we'll look around and become complacent. We'll look around and we'll become just to the place where we're sort of apathetic, and we sort of, it doesn't matter if the Lord moves or not, we're not really concerned about it. We've had it for so long, and the revival's been going on for so long, and seems like the Spirit of God's been here for so long. And if we're not careful, we'll come up against a mountain that if we were just looking at it a few years ago, we would have thought it was nothing but a molehill. But because we've kind of been getting into that complacent spirit, and because we're kind of getting into that lackadaisical attitude, all of a sudden that little bitty molehill will seem to be like such a big mountain. And from our memory, we'll go all the stuff that God did for us in times past, and we'll turn around and we'll say, is the Lord among us or not? God, would you look at this awful thing that I'm facing now? Would you look at this awful trial that I'm looking at now? Would you look at this mountain that's standing before me now? I just don't know, God, if anything could be done. I don't know if anything could be worked out. I don't know if anything could be turned around. God, this one is awful. This one is serious. God, are you among us or not? And it's not an unfair question. Because all we got to do is just look at the church world in general in which we live in today. All across the news media and all across the printed page, there's different stories and different examples of the excess of religion and how men have used it for their own greed and for their own gain. And we can look across the pages and look across the different channels of those different Christian stations, so to speak. And we can look at that. We can say, is this what we've came to? Is this been the culmination of all the blessings of this Pentecostal experience? Is this all that we have to offer anybody? And if we could just look at all the church world in this country that we live in today, we can say, is the Lord among us or not? We can question to ourselves, so it's not always an odd question to ask, but that's what the children of Israel were doing here. They had come up against the Red Sea, and they with no hope in sight whatsoever of making it across. And there God parted that, and they walked across on dry land. And when they got to the other side, Pharaoh's bunch took off after them, and God swallowed them up in the sea. They had seen every bit of that, but just because of a little lack of water, just because they were starting to get a little dry and starting to get a little thirsty, they begin to chide with Moses, and they say, that's it. God's nowhere around. Moses, you tell us, is the Lord among us or not? Can we feel him anywhere? Has our prayers been going up to the brass heavens? Is there anything that you can show us, Moses, to let us know, is God among us or not? If we're not careful, we'll get so critical. If we're not careful, we'll get so downtrodden in our spirit that even those small things that we used to be able to take in stride, those small things that used to seem like nothing to us, those small things, whether it be a van going out or whatever it might be coming our way, those things that we used to just step right on over and go right on through, if we're not careful, they'll rock us right down to our foundation because our prayer life has been lacking. We've not been reading the Word like we should. We've not been spending time with God, and those little things will begin to shake us, and those little things will begin to rock us, and we'll have to look up and ask God, are you here or not? Are you among us or not? All we got, I guarantee you, most of the people at Columbine High School would probably profess some type of religion. They would probably profess some type of an experience with the Lord. They would probably say that they were people who were God-fearing people. Just about anybody across the country you ask will tell you that they're born again. They're a Christian. They're a God-fearing person. We live in a whole majority of people who say they are. But yet when you see the things come against the church like we've seen in the past, when you see the things come against God's people like we've seen in the past, you have to wonder sometimes, God, are you among us or not? Have we strayed so far? Have we missed the mark so much that the spirit that we once felt and that anointing that we once felt and that power that we once felt is no more? And we begin to wonder whether God is even here. I was there. I can tell you that I've experienced that. And as I went on my prodigal journey, so to speak, and began to get to the place where even the small little things would aggravate me spiritually, and even the little things that Satan would throw up would be enough to get me discouraged and get me depressed. And as we would go to church and we would sit there, and Brother Richard could probably tell you, it was the Church of God movement, and I'm not trying to slam anybody in the Church of God, but just so shallow. I mean, the services that we had, I believe they did have a move of God, but it was just a shallow experience. And it was nothing that I could sink my teeth into, nothing that I could really come out with any help and with any encouragement and with any uplifting. And I began to get myself to the place where I was looking around at my own life and remembering how things used to be and remembering the blessing of God and remembering the Spirit of the Lord, how it used to flow in the service. And I had to find myself looking around, asking the Lord, God, are you among us or not? Have I missed the mark? Am I to the place where I can't feel the Spirit of God like I used to feel? Am I thirsting now over something that used to not be nothing to me? Am I to the place now where even those little things are starting to knock me out? God, are you among us or not? And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves removed. As that song says, the Lord talking to His servant, I miss my time with you. And we'll find ourselves removed from that familiar place with God. And we'll find ourselves removed from the place where we used to enjoy such communion with the Lord. And we'll have to get ourselves back up on our own 2 feet like the prodigal son did. Come to himself. Come to ourselves and shake ourselves. And get ourselves right back to the place where we know we need to be. Where we know we ought to be, and I may not be talking to you, but I'm talking to you about my experience. Get to the place where we can get ourselves right back to what we know was right, and how to live and how we know was right to live, and doing how we know was right to do, and get that same kind of feeling we got when we first got saved. You remember how it was? Everybody was sweet. Everybody was great. I mean, everybody looked pretty. Nobody had any bad breath. I mean, man, that's the best time in the world, when you get up from that altar of salvation. Just everybody's nice and everybody's wonderful. And sometimes we'll get so far from that and we'll begin to cry out to God, Lord, that's what I want again. I want that same old-fashioned experience that I once had. I want that same anointing. I want that same infilling of God's Spirit. Take me back to that place where I can feel you once again and feel that same power and feel that same anointing and that same Spirit flowing in me. Like was in me when I got up from the time I got saved right over here. And you know that feeling. You know that how that wonderful bubbling joy is in there. But the children of Israel looked around without any water to drink. They were all together. They wasn't in any kind of bondage. They had been brought out of the land of Egypt. There wasn't no slave master over them with a whip. There wasn't nobody over them telling them they had to make bricks with less straw than they made before. There wasn't nobody telling them they had to make more bricks than they made the day before. There wasn't nobody telling them what they could eat and when they could eat it. There wasn't no slaves and slave master over them. There wasn't no hard task they were performing. God had worked a miracle. And just because they were thirsty, just a little thing like a lack of water, they couldn't even trust God for. And they told Moses, well, you brought us out here just to die. You brought us out here and our cattle and our children just to die of thirst. Because we can't even trust the Lord for water anymore. Moses, is the Lord among us or not? If we ever lived in a time when we need to answer that question, now is the time. We've got children like the Columbine High School situation, and that's not the only ones that feel that way. There's kids probably in just about every school that could do the things that those two boys did. There's kids probably in every town across the country that are to the point where they could do the things that they did. They just haven't done it yet. They just haven't just taken that step. If we ever had a time when we needed to make sure and answer that question, is the Lord among us or not, now is the time.
You can't even go to the supermarket without being bombarded by the things that Satan has to offer. And if you're not careful, if you're not walking by the Lord, if you don't have Him on your side, it would be unsafe to even go to the supermarket and back to your house again without the presence of God there. If we ever need to answer this question, is the Lord among us or not? We need to answer it today. We need to answer it for our children that are going to be coming up and sitting in these pews and wondering, what about the services that they used to have at the highway? Is the Lord among us or not? We need to make sure we throw the wood on the fire. We need to make sure that we keep those altars ablaze. So for the children's sake and for those coming up behind us, we need to answer that question with a very loud and a very affirmative, yes, He is. The Spirit of God is still here. The power of God is still here. The same anointing that can heal and can save and can deliver is still here tonight. And it's for you, and it's for your children, and it's for all of those that are far off. We need to let the world know. It may be a fake somewhere else. It may be a fraud somewhere else. It may not be exactly like it ought to be. It might not be as genuine as it ought to be somewhere else. But at least in our corner of the world, at least in our four walls right here, for those that find their way in, they're going to find the real anointing of God. They're going to find the real power of God. They're going to find the real fire burning on the altar. Because that's what we've got around here, is the real anointing of the Lord. The Lord is among us tonight. We need to look up with an affirmative yes and say, oh, but He is. Because He's changed my life. And because He's made me a new creature. Oh, they'll tell you, you can't win an argument with an experience. And I know good and well they're right. But you're not going to make me doubt what experience I had. And you're not going to make me doubt the fact that God came into my life and made me a new creature and turned me around. And He'll do the same for somebody else. We might not be able to win the argument with the experience, but if you get that experience, you don't need to argue anymore, because you know it's right, because you know God's on your side, because you know the Lord is among us to save and to heal and to lift up. And that's what we need to proclaim to everybody out there. There may be times in our lives we come getting discouraged and we get upset and we begin to worry, we begin to wonder, but that's what the altar's for. And that's why we need to make sure we keep a fire burning up here. For those times when we come in and Satan has knocked us off our moorings with different things. You've come from the doctor's office and he's told you there's no hope. You've come from that loved one's house and they've cursed at you and spit in your face and said they're never going to darken the church door. You've come from this situation or that and begin to feel the waves and the rocking of the ship. We need a place where we can come into that we can find that answer and we can find that assurance that yes, no matter how dark the storm may be, and no matter how high the waves may be, there is a place in God where we know He's going to be on our side. That's what these altars need to be, is a place when we begin to get that little bit of a doubt, when we begin to get like kind of like the children of Israel here, wondering, is God even in this place or not? When we begin to be buffeted by Satan and by all the things that he sends our way, there needs to be an altar. There needs to be a place that you can go. There needs to be that secret place of the Most High where God can speak to you and where God can whisper in your ear. He's going to take care of you and He's going to take care of that situation no matter how dark it may seem. God's in control. God is here, and the Lord is among us tonight to save and to heal. Can you say amen? I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be able to stand back and say, I've never doubted. I've never had a time when I was discouraged or depressed. I've never had a time when I wondered if I was doing the right thing or not. I envy you if you can say that. I envy you if you can say that there's never been a time when you had to stop and look at your situation and find an altar of prayer somewhere to see if you were on the right road. That's a wonderful thing, but there's been times when I've made turns that I wasn't sure was right. And there's been times when I've made steps, even since we came back to the highway, that I wasn't sure was the right step to make. But I was doing my best to follow the leading of God. And I was doing my best to do what God wanted me to do. And I would have to find me an altar somewhere. I'd have to find me someplace to get a hold of God and say, Lord, I need to hear from you one more time. I need to know, oh God, are you in this place or not? Are you with me one more time? Have you walked this journey with me one more step? God, can I feel your presence just one more time? and God would come by and speak that sweet peace to my soul. And let me know that even though it's hard to understand in our own minds sometimes, God is among us. And God is here to change lives. And God is here to lift people up and to turn people around. And He'll do it in the highway of holiness, or Middletown, or Indiana. Mike called us today, wanted to let everybody know they're going on in revival down there, at least Monday and Tuesday. Said they had a girl coming, or I don't know if it was a girl or a boy, a backslider came and prayed this morning. And he said, man, he said, tell everybody we're going on through at least Monday and Tuesday. He said, God's moving down here. Now, what are they finding? They're finding the answer to that question. Is the Lord among us or not? Oh, yes, He is. Even in a little place like Waterloo Holiness Church, where everybody would drive by and not even think much about it, the Spirit of God is there, and the power of God is there, and He's changing lives, and He's turning people around, because the Lord is among us tonight. And God's there to change, and God's there to save, and God's there to heal your loved ones and mine. And he wants us to answer that question with a great big affirmative yes. He is among us. There might be times you doubt, but the Lord is among us. There might be times we wonder, but God is among us. There might be times Satan gets the picture painted so black that we can't see through the clouds and the darkness. But God is still on the throne. And even when we begin to get a little bit thirsty, even when we begin to get a little bit dry, even when we begin to wonder where the next glass of water is going to come from, God is still among us one more time. And He's going to lead us one more step. And how many steps do you need? I mean, if God promised you He'll take you one more step, that's enough for me. I'll worry about that second step later. If He tells me He'll keep me today, I'm satisfied with that. I'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes here. Because God may only be keeping us for one day, because one day is all we need, Brother Ronnie. We might see Him before the day's over. He might be requiring our soul of us before that day's even over. So all I need out of God is just one more step, just one more day. Just get me through just this one situation right here. I'm not going to put big demands on the Lord, because He can take care of tomorrow. He can take care of all the rest of the stuff. God, I'm just asking about right now. I'm just asking about my trial that I'm in right now. I'm asking about my dark storm that I'm facing right now. Are You in this or not? Can You get me through this one more time? Is the Lord among us or not? Yes, He is, folks. Yes, He is. The power of God is here to save and to heal. If you've got a need in your heart tonight, God is here among us to take care of that need. If you've got a burden on your soul tonight, this is the place to leave it, because God is here to take your burden away and to take every doubt and every care that you have and cast it off, because He's here for you, and the Lord is among us tonight.